Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat. I have Eric.
Hi.
And welcome back, Terry.
Hello, hello.
Yay, it's good to have you back. Haven't heard from you in a while. Except for on Twitter, like every day, but you know.
I'm always on Twitter.
Yeah. Today's episode, we are going to talk about Lost and Doctor Who. We're going to start with Lost first. And I've been talking about Lost a bit, so I want to hear some thoughts from you, Terry, about have you been blogging? Because I've been looking for you, and I'm not sure.
I know. I've been a bit busy. I haven't had a chance to blog. And the funny thing is, I've got so far behind, I want to sit down and go, how am I meant to explain this show anymore? It's just, I'm completely confused now.
You're confused? What's confusing about it? Are you enjoying it, and it is confusing?
Yeah, I am enjoying it. It's just, I thought maybe that the whole a sideways timeline was all very much a what if, but now they're getting images of their past life with on the island and and the whole Desmond thing last week. Oh, spoilers! And and I think, well, I don't know, what is it then? It's like a parallel world. I have no idea, and it's just funny how Desmond can see it and no one else can, or they're starting to.
Eric, it looks like we'll get to have our time. Explanation show that we had a Lost episode that we didn't put into the feed. So Eric has a really great explanation for that.
I have it really simply now, but I mean, we talked about it at great length, and that time it took me an hour to explain, but I can pretty much explain it much quicker now.
Yeah, because I was really like, what? I still don't get it.
But I mean, do you want me to tell you? Because it's almost like Pandora's box. Because
go for it.
This is his theory, but. It kind of feels like a spoiler once he explains it, but it's not because he doesn't know for sure.
Yeah, but I'm about 90% sure at this point.
Look at him. Just arrogant.
No, but it stinks because I pretty much saw it literally in the first 5 minutes of the season premiere of season 6. Mm-hmm. That's when it hit me, and that kind of stinks because it's only proven true since then, and it kind of has taken like some of the fun out of some of the new episodes. But simplest way I can explain it is, when they set off the bomb in the season finale of season 5, the incident, when they set off the bomb, right from that point is when the sideways, what is it called? The flash sideways. Is that what it's called?
I think so. People get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The flash sideways was basically created at that particular point in time in 1977 when they set off the bomb. Go ahead.
But one thing I noticed last week was did you see Pierre Chang doing the whole thing for Hurley?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you see he had his full hand? He didn't lose his hand there.
Because that was a sideways, right?
Yeah, I know, but he still lost his arm in that accident. He still lost his hand before that.
Was that pre-bomb? Oh, God.
That was just before the bomb, yeah, just before it blew up.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and also a lot of people were saying, hey, you know, Chang, he should know her, he should recognize Hurley, and why wasn't there any acknowledgement? And I don't know the answer to that yet, but, like I said, I believe the Sideways Verse was spawned right at that point when the bomb went off, and everything went that direction, and eventually what's going to happen is, in the Sideways Verse, it's going to come to a point now, in the next episodes to come, where eventually, by working through Desmond and whoever else can make the connection to their other self, kind of like what Hurley was doing in the last episode, they are going to basically set it right again and make it so that the Sideways Verse, they're going to find a way somehow to cancel it out to where it never happened. And that will lead to the beginning of where our Losty characters found themselves at the beginning of season 6, where they were there at the bomb site going, wait a second, it didn't work. Because they're unaware that the whole Sideways Verse already transpired and had been resolved and reset. They're already at the reset point. Mm. So that basically, that's the simplest way I think I can explain it. So,
has anyone?
Go ahead.
It's weird. No, has anyone read the Esau story behind that?
No.
What do you mean?
Esau. Type it into Wiki. It's Jacob's brother, and it makes a lot of sense. Like in the Hebrew Bible.
Oh.
Oh,
as
Esau?
The firstborn, Esau.
Okay.
Esau?
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
As the firstborn, Esau was entitled to inherit the wealth of his father Isaac after his death. However, he sold his birthright to Jacob in exchange for a mess of pottage, a meal of lentils. According to the Talmud, the sale of the birthright took immediately after Abraham died. And he's talking about his crazy mother as well, so might be. Because we still don't know what his name is, do we?
You're talking about Man in Black?
Yeah.
So you're thinking that he's Esau, right?
Yeah. Possibly.
Oh wow, that you just blew my mind.
Yeah, but and like I said, everything I've seen since the premiere of season 6 has only backed up the theory, and even more so in the recent episodes, especially with Faraday's mother in the Sideways universe. I think she's aware of the whole situation. She knows what's going on, and she's working against it because she doesn't want the Flash Sideways to not exist, and so
she doesn't want her son to die.
Exactly. And of course she remembers what all happened because she was there and she killed him and everything else. So I'm just waiting for that to happen, and I just know it will. Now, do I know all the little details other than that? Like, you know, the fill in the blanks? No, of course I don't. But
I wish.
We shall see though. It'll all play out like that. I'm pretty confident at this point because if it's not that, then my mind will explode if there's another explanation besides that.
Have you ever seen Babylon 5?
No, I'm.
What?
I've only.
Oh, hold, wait a second. What? You know, Eric, I don't know.
I was just saying that's a head.
I'm kidding.
That's a head messing show.
Yeah,
I only saw the original premiere when it aired live on television. Like the movie special, whatever, and that's the only thing that I've ever seen of Babylon 5.
For shame.
It's as weird as Lost, if worse.
Yeah, I Babylon 5 was a little more coherent to me. I mean, I wasn't.
True.
It didn't have me, you know, pun lost, but I don't know. Did Eric's explanation make any sense to you at all?
I could see where he's going there because he had the whole like island underneath the water. I completely get that, but there's just certain bits and pieces where they like the storyline isn't quite right. It's like the island never existed in some ways. You know what I mean? Or it's been under the ocean for hundreds and hundreds of years. And
in the Sideways,
actually... well, yeah.
Well, no, because in the Sideways it existed, but you remember because the Ben and his dad, they had
exactly.
actually been there, right?
Yeah.
But
oh,
there was
true.
A point,
yeah.
with Eric is saying that there's a point where they kind of, the timelines kind of fork off.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
and I guess that the fork is going to disappear at some point, and it's just going to be kind of a roundabout or straight line, or I don't know, I'm trying to get a visual on how the timeline works, and it doesn't work out, so I'm stopping that. But... But it existed, but I think some sort of, I don't know, catastrophic event happened, or I don't know how.
They're gonna set it right again, one way or the other, with Desmond. They're going to set it right again. And I think it's part of the reason why he had to kill Locke in the last episode, because I think for some reason when they
Wait, whoa, what now? Who had to kill? Locke didn't die. What do you mean?
Well, I don't know if he died, but I mean when Desmond ran him over.
Oh, yes. Okay, I'm sorry.
And I believe the reason he ran him over is for some reason, I'm guessing this, for some reason when they reset the Sideways world, similar to what Man in Black was saying about, like, when they had to get off the island, they had to try to simulate as closest to when they got on the island. Like, you had to have, like, the same kind of
mm-hmm.
people. For some reason, I think that's why Desmond had to kill Locke, because for some reason he has to kind of match things up as best he can before... they fix the Sideways world. At least that's my theory for that part.
My mouth was hanging open when he did that. When I just, it's like the momentum of the show had, I forgot what time it was, and the momentum had kind of slowed down, and I, you know, just was really into it, and then bam, he rides over Locke, and then they just lost, and then ended the show, and I was like, really? What it was that? But it was so effective. But also, on this, you know, flip side, Locke pushed Desmond down the well. I don't know what that's going to do, if that's going to hurt Desmond. If Desmond, I don't know, I have a theory, maybe he's the next Jacob candidate.
I don't think it is. I don't think he's the next Jacob.
I don't think it is, but he was acting like Jacob in the Flash Sideways, where he's going to everyone, he's touching them, he's talking to them, he's you know, giving them, like, you need to remember this. And, you know, ever since he was, I guess, touched by Charlie, you mm-hmm. know, well, not touched, but, you know, mm-hmm. activated, mm-hmm. been going to, you know, each person, and each person is having their glimpses of, you know, the island or whatever. So he's kind of acting like Jacob was initially, right?
Sure, I think he is acting like him, but I think he's, Desmond is more an implement, but not the actual, yeah, candidate person.
Because I think Emo Jack's going to be the candidate.
What'd you say?
I think Emo Jack's going to be the candidate.
Emo Jack.
Definitely a possibility of that, and he seems like one of the. But it's going to be one of the people whose name was in the cave. I mean, more than likely.
It has to be Jack. Yeah. It's just the show, blah blah blah. It just has to be him.
I'd say it's likely going to be him, but I'm not going to, you know, commit to that 100%. But if I had to choose someone at this point, I would choose Jack, but...
Okay, so do y'all think there were two little boys in the aisle? I think it was two. Some people say it's just one. It seemed like the little boy looked the same. He just had two different hair colors. One time he was blonde, one time he was brunette. In the latest episode, he was brunette. Mm-hmm. Do y'all think that this is the same kid, a different kid? Desmond,
I think it's the same kid.
You think it is? Why?
I think so. It's just a different, like, shades in the sun. I think
yeah, that, you know, hair, I mean, like, was platinum blonde, though. They look the same, though. I don't know.
I think they're different just because I think the hair color is different enough. And it's certainly a different boy playing. And if they wanted it to be the same boy, I don't know why they couldn't just get the same boy.
What if it's Jacob and the man in black as they
were?
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, that's one of the first obvious things that comes to mind.
But why would he be upset to see him? Because every time Locke has seen the kid, the only other person that has seen the kid is Sawyer and Desmond and possibly Richard.
Right.
The candidates. Oh, Richard's not, though, is he? No.
But he saw that kid.
But
once,
Desmond is not a candidate either.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, if he is, they haven't put his name out there, his last name, the way they did everyone else.
Well, they didn't do it with Kate either, so, I mean, that doesn't really mean anything.
Well, yeah, because Kate, as far as we know, is not a candidate either.
Yeah, but she's important somehow. But well, you notice how in these latest episodes, she doesn't really have anything to do.
That's true,
she's kind of sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to die.
Waiting to get killed by Claire.
That Claire, oh my god. Somebody get that woman a comb, right?
Oh, so filthy. I don't know. It's so overdone that.
Okay. What else on Lost? What did we have? Four episodes left? Or
I think it's about 12 or 13 episodes. I think.
No.
Where are you?
No. It's definitely not that
much.
No.
I mean, coming up. Oh, no?
No, it's like four more left.
I think it's four plus a 2-hour finale.
What have you seen? You've seen the last one, right?
Yeah, that last one I've seen was the Everyone Loves Hugo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well then you're up to date, and it's like four more, because the last one is on May 23rd, where they're going to have this huge 5-hour event.
God.
I know, did you see what they're going to do? Didn't Joe talk about that 5-hour event? Yeah, okay, so I won't go over that again, but... But my goodness, that's just crazy. I don't know. I think.
Have you noticed we haven't seen Christian since Locke's been locked into his body?
I have noticed that, and I don't know. I guess we don't need him anymore?
No, because he was Christian. I reckon. I have a funny feeling that Christian was the man in black.
Oh, yeah. Well, or the Man in Black was masquerading himself as Christian.
Yeah, that's what I mean. As Christian.
Okay. Yeah. Everyone's been pretty much on board with that. And we've kind of thought, because at some point in season six, somebody, maybe Jacob, said that once he took on Locke's form, he was
basically locked. Yeah,
exactly. No pun intended, but yes. Yes.
I still don't get it. Maybe I still don't know why that.
I don't know why either.
Okay.
Yeah. And like
after
I said, before,
Jacob died, maybe.
Oh, because let's see, Christian was already dead when he took that form.
Mm-hmm.
He took the form of Richard's wife. She was already dead. Well, Jacob was already dead. I mean, excuse me. Locke was already dead when he took that form. So I'm still really don't get, because they were saying he was stuck as Locke prior to him killing Jacob, right?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think it was afterwards, yeah.
I couldn't say for sure when he got stuck as him. I don't know. I don't.
Okay. Yeah, that's just a real puzzle there. Maybe we're just overthinking that. I don't know. I'm still curious. I still want to know who Penny's mom is. That bothers me, and I really want them to answer that question. No? None of you guys care?
It hasn't bothered me. I mean, sure, it'd be nice to know, and it could be a big surprise, but it's not something that I've...
Claire? How about, what's his name? Claire's old flame, who had Aaron's father. We haven't seen him at all since.
Aaron's father?
Yeah, I can't even think
of that. Oh, yeah, I don't even know who that is anymore.
That's what I mean. Like, he's just disappeared out of the story. I thought he'd have a big impact in the show, but no.
Okay. Oh, I get it. Okay, well, then maybe Penny's mom is not important. Well, I think from some of the tweets that I've seen that what was the guy's, which Shannon's brother, what is his name? Richard?
Boone.
He's coming back for another appearance, and I don't know why. But I don't know that
as long as Shannon doesn't come back, I don't care.
I miss her. I don't know why everybody hated her. I mean, you stuck on an island, you don't have anything to do, why not give yourself a pedicure? I mean, come on. I was really undone with people being upset with
that. Like many characters
on Locke.
Apollo. Oh.
What'd you say? What?
No.
The two that died, I hope they don't come back.
Oh, the...
Nikki and Apollo.
Oh, yeah, nah, they're done. Maybe. Because they wasn't really important. But I really liked it. People really hate that episode. I loved it. I just thought it was a crazy one-off.
The beginning was funny. I love the TV show they were doing. That was hilarious.
Mm-hmm, with Billy Dee. That's fun. Well, Well, any other predictions? We think that Jack is the candidate. Anything, I mean, juicy.
I'm guessing the two skeletons, I reckon, will be Rose and Bernard.
Oh, come on, really?
Wow.
Well, they're still in the past. They're still in the past, I think.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think they came back with everybody else in the end. I mean, it's just my guess based on nothing, but mm-hmm. I just believe that they probably came back with everybody else.
I really want them to make it to the end. They've made it so far.
I have a feeling they will, but...
I don't think they died. I just thought because they were pretty old. They weren't that old, but they probably would have, you know, been an old age type thing, because how old would Rose and Bernard been? They didn't look young in that show now. 30-something years.
Well, I mean, Rose was in The Flash sideways.
True.
So...
But if she's in the past, though, that's another 30-odd years to add on
but
top as well.
But is anybody stuck in the past? Any of the Lost Seas? Not really, right? None of them.
I just thought it'd be nice because they can actually retire in peace kind of thing.
That would be... I guess if they have to die, then...
The only person which they've said that's actually going to last until the very last episode is Vincent. They've said that.
The dog?
That they've announced. Yeah, the dog. They said.
Well, so that's good to know. That's not really a spoiler. I hope he doesn't, like, morph into a human or anything like that.
No.
But Ben, I've noticed... Oh, we forgot to mention Ilana. Is that her name? What is her name?
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. She's just gone.
Boom.
She's just gone out of the blue. I knew when she started yelling and she was doing that long talking. You know how like Samuel L. Jackson in that short shark movie where he was just talking and talking and then the shark just like ate him? That's just how that was. And it was just as shocking. But then, you know, the island's done with her, just like Ben said. Do we miss her? Do we care? Anyone?
Well, she wasn't bad. We just didn't get much of a backstory for her. You know, we had one back flashback episode, and that was kind of it. She was like, oh, because she's so new.
Yeah.
She wasn't bad. I didn't mind her, but we didn't get to know enough about her. I think it was a bit too late in the show to introduce a new character.
And she's seeming, I trained my whole life for this and blah, blah, blah. I wanted her to be a little bit more important, but I guess, you know, this late in the game. I don't know. Well, are we wrapped up on Lost? Any last thoughts on Lost? Cricket, cricket. Okay, well, let's go on to Doctor Who. Well, I know both of you guys love Doctor Who a lot. You can hear Eric's thoughts on Doctor Who on his podcast. What is it, Eric? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Whoverse.
Yes, Guide to the Whoverse.libsyn.com. And yeah, if you look at the mostly harmless cutaway episodes on the feed, that's where we've been reviewing Series 5.
Okay, but we're going to talk about some stuff today on this episode. First, Terry, we know kind of what Eric thinks a little bit, but Terry, tell me, how are you feeling about Matt Smith, Karen, and that's her name, right? Yeah, Gillian. And how are you feeling about those two?
I love it. I'm really enjoying it. I have to admit, before I go on, I'm a big Stephen Moffat fan for a long time. I like all the stuff that he's done in the past. He's done a kids show that I grew up with, which I loved, called Press Gang. I don't know if you've ever seen that. He also did Coupling, which is one of the funniest sitcoms. I just love it.
Okay.
And last year he did a show called Jekyll, which was a very creepy.
Oh my God, that was a very good show. I loved it.
He did that as well. He's just done a lot of really good stuff that I enjoy, and I knew that his kind of take on the show would be very different. And it's like, they're going around saying it's very dark fairy tale, and I can see that. It's kind of creepy, but it's not like Russell was good, but you can tell he was much a very different kind of producer and writer. He was very for the big, like, blockbuster bang kind of thing, you know what I mean? Like all the cameos and all the references and all that. It's cheesy, but it's fun. And he's kind of ignored all that. Like, you didn't even get UNIT the other week. Did you notice that in the first episode?
What now?
Well, when they're all sitting around the laptop talking about the end of the world,
oh,
you'd see UNIT, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, I guess now that you mention it, yeah,
but
Eric,
yeah,
any thoughts? No.
No, I don't know. I mean, I thought the same thing. Yeah, UNIT could have been there, but I didn't really put more thought into it than that. You know, I just it wasn't a big deal to me about them one way or the other.
I think he's just trying to make a new show. He's kind of like distancing himself from series 1 to 4, and he's trying to make a new kind of style to it. I could totally get that.
So what do you think about the performances so far? Do you find Matt believable?
Yeah, I really enjoy him. He's kind of the way he completely lost his cool the other week. I like that because I think I like David, but when he got angry, you kind of just wanted to grin at him. It's like, oh, you can't be angry for long.
I don't know. I didn't find Matt's anger with the Dalek. I just didn't find it convincing. And then
no, not the Dalek. I'm talking about in the space whale the week before when he goes off at Karen.
The second episode, Beast Below?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you say you don't believe his anger, or you
No,
did?
I believe it. No, I
oh,
believe
you did?
It.
I didn't believe that either. It's
oh,
just like,
I absolutely did at that
I
part.
Didn't. I just could not feel it. It was like, he seems angry, but it seems like a distant anger that I'm just not into. I didn't feel it. It felt forced to me.
No, I absolutely felt it in the Beast Below, but in the Dalek episode, he wasn't genuinely angry. He was, I think, putting on an act. In the
That's
game.
What I felt too. I dislike the Victory of Daleks. We'll get to that in a second. the first three episodes, because when you say that you don't get the big theatrical, this third episode of Victory of the Daleks was very kind of theatrical. I mean, I like the space, I guess, battle and stuff
good,
like
yeah.
that. It was a really big episode, but I thought in my opinion, it was a bit too much for the beginning. Like, I really wanted
like
to. Well, yeah, I like that. But my point is, like, The Beast Below, I think there were some really great, genuine back and forth with the Doctor and Amy. And we were developing their relationship, getting to know them a little bit more. And then all of a sudden in the third episode, Victory of the Daleks, we're thrust into action. And we're still, you know, I still don't know these people. Yeah, I still don't know them. And I felt Amy was a little... I don't know. Some of her reactions to certain things seemed inappropriate. Like, she'd be smiling or something in a very serious situation. Like, nobody would respond to something like that. That's just, I don't know. It was just something very off. And Eric, I wanted to ask you, do you know the shooting order of any of these episodes? Was this the first one? Because this felt
Some I know. And I'm a little bit, it's a little bit confusing because, let's see. This one was weird. They do in blocks, but this first block, if you want to call it that, was filmed in a weird order. Because I know 4 and 5 for sure were filmed before 1.
Okay.
And I know 2 was one of the earliest filmed. And so I have no idea where 3 fits in, but I'm going to assume it's one of the earlier ones as well. So
it feels like.
Mm-hmm. So if I had to guess, it would be something like 2... maybe 3, 4, 5, 1, maybe for the first episodes. But yeah, that is very confusing and jarring because I think you can kind of tell.
The first episode was just so good. I connected with him. I felt Amy. She was there. Everything was just clicking. The chemistry was just awesome. And then Beast Below, you could kind of tell, blah, blah. And then Victory of the Daleks was just... I don't know. I was totally disconnected. I was not engaged. It looked pretty. Everything was playing the part.
Apart from those new Daleks.
Oh my God. Fruity flavored Daleks. What is that? Oh my God. Eric, what is this? What was that? Did you like? I know Eric liked it.
I was fine with their colors. I liked pretty much everything about the new Daleks except for their rear caboose area.
They're fat.
Yeah,
part of it, the shape is a little bit weird, but the part I really just don't like is I don't like their, what do we call them?
Hunchback?
No, well, yes, I don't like that, but I forget what we call
booty.
What's the Doctor Who word for the balls that the Daleks have on, I forget the Doctor Who term for the balls that the Daleks have around.
The bumps.
Yeah, there's a word for that. I don't know. But those things, I don't like them not completely going all the way around the skirt. I don't like there being that break in the back where there's that black vent, whatever it is. That's the only thing I really don't like about the new design. But everything else other than that, I'm fine with it. And
I like the original classic Dalek.
And really, the thing with the colors, I knew from looking on Twitter that a lot of people thought it was either, like, it was like what you just said, like it's almost satirical, but, and a lot of jokes have been made about it. But to me, I was just like, hey, this is the 60s movie Daleks. You know, this
I've heard that throwback. Too.
So absolutely. It absolutely is. And they take a couple cues. Part of it is the color, but also like what I call like the bumper car skirt at the bottom of the Dalek.
I know.
Well, that is straight out of like how the motion picture Daleks looked, because they were taller and it was thicker there, and again the whole
I can actually jump inside them.
Mm-hmm. And even though the other design cues, the angular design is more departure, it has a neo retro Art Deco 50s kind of look to it, which I really like. And I definitely think they're more ominous. And also, if you watch...
No, they're not. Not with
I
the
think
colors.
They are.
The first one came out, he looked like a Dalek stormtrooper. And I was like, oh, they're...
I like the white one. The white one's my favorite.
And then I was just like, okay. And then all the fruity flavors came out. And I was like, you know what? The Daleks have become the Borg, how the Borg were like on Voyager, Star Trek Voyager. And you're just not scared of them. And I'm tired of the Daleks already. I mean, I haven't seen...
I thought these Daleks...
I haven't seen prior to Eccleston. You know that. and I'm already tired of the Daleks.
Yeah, but I think these are the thing
about the classic series is they only used them maybe once or twice per Doctor, so when they did come, they were a surprise. But now we've got them every year, and it's kind of
Kind of funny. Like I said on my other show, it's actually been almost 2 years since we had a Dalek story. I know it doesn't seem like it, but this has actually been the longest break in the new series that we haven't
it's
had.
It's because there's been a break in all the episodes. I'm pretty sure if we had a whole season last year, we would have seen those damn Daleks again.
But
oh yeah,
I think these are the scariest Daleks in the new series since I think these are the scariest Daleks in the new series since the first Dalek episode.
Well, aside from their color, what they can do and how they're manipulative and how they think on their feet, and they're not just dumb Borg. They can't, you know. Okay, I feel that as far as being scary.
Oh, and I was gonna say too, if you watch the Confidential for the episode, because you can't tell just from watching the episode, but if you watch the Confidential, the Daleks have actually a realistic looking eyeball in their stock eyepiece, that, you know, the part that sticks out.
Well, it looked different. Wow.
Yeah, if you look at it up close, it's supposed to resemble like a, not a human, but like a biological eyeball. And also the colors, it's very, the whole point of the colors, according to the Confidential, is basically like classic Star Trek. Each color designates a different type and class, and they actually all have names. You go over in the for describing their role or whatever. The red ones are the drones.
Like Dalek second or that.
No, not like personal names, but like class names.
Like, and the red shirts, the engineering.
The red ones are the red ones are the drones. The white one is the leader. The yellow one has the mysterious name Eternal, which they say doesn't have any meaning to look into. But anyway,
he's
the Eternal Dalek. And then I don't know which colors match up, but there's also the
blue.
There's a science Dalek, there's a strategy Dalek.
I wish we'd have the pink gay Daleks.
And
girlfriend.
Yeah, those are the only ones I remember right now. So they were saying perhaps, you know, hint, hint, in the future there could be just like a bunch of red Daleks running around because they would be the drones and whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very...
I really enjoyed the original classic Dalek because we haven't seen that in the new series ever. And like when the ones that were made on Earth, you know, right at the beginning, how they were very dark looking, I thought, oh, they're back. I thought they'd use them again. But
which classic ones were you referring to that you wanted to see back?
Well, the right in the beginning of the episode where he's actually making them and he's calling them the Ironsides.
When are you saying you wanted to see more of those? Or
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy those old classic ones.
Oh, yeah. Those ones definitely look cool.
They did.
Olive drab green ones. Yeah, sure.
Definitely. Okay. another thing. The I know this is a nitpick, but the android and they talking him through being human, and that was to stop the bomb with his little... What's that old 80s game, Connect Four, or the one where you touch the
Simon,
colors?
Simon.
And whatever that was.
Simon.
What was that?
That was Simon. I mean, that was Simon said.
Simon, it was Simon. Mm-hmm. Really? I don't know. I just, I couldn't. I was really taken out of this.
Well,
episode.
I thought he looked too much like Iron Man, but.
Yes!
But I've heard that, certainly I've heard that scene criticized and why I was so much devoted to that scene and a lot of people didn't get it and this and that. Cause
I got it. It's just,
but,
I mean, they might as well have prayed or do, you know, I don't, it was just too.
No, but what I think, because. What I think the purpose of that scene was, after rewatching it many times already, I really think that scene was emphasized, not so much to put emphasis on the android professor. I think it was really more to do about Amy, because upon rewatching, there's some things to look at, because as the doctor is trying to get that initial information, is trying to evoke like a feeling of pain in the android when he's asking him about his parents and all that. Go back and rewatch it, and as the android talks about, oh, my parents, and they died from scarlet fever or whatever, there's all these specific directorial choices where they keep flashing to Amy, and Amy's having like a lot of reaction listening to the android talk about
that. I just found distracting and didn't believe.
But you didn't believe you didn't believe like Amy's response to that, or what are you saying?
I don't know. It just seemed off to me. It's just I don't know. She just seemed really I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
It's like really
I can't speak for the whole entire episode, but definitely I felt there was some good acting going on in this particular scene by her. And you see her really reacting and connecting since she doesn't have her
parents. It was overreacting or something, dude.
Yeah.
And I think it had to be a little bit like overreacting because I didn't even notice this stuff the first time watching it.
You notice she didn't like tear. You know, like if this, not to compare companions, but like if this was Rose, it would have been a little softer. There would have been a little bit of tears. There would have been a little bit of affection. She was just like, yeah, think about the person you love. All right. She could have been juggling some dice.
Because that's
or
the difference
like
between
chewing gum. Or,
that's the difference between her and Rose, though. Because, see, this is the thing. First, she had like an emotional reaction when she heard him talk about losing his parents. But then, if you keep looking at her, because they keep showing her, you can see, like, in her mind, kind of like the beast below, you can kind of see the wheels start turning in her head, and that's when she hits upon the idea of, have you ever fancied someone that you shouldn't? And I felt like that was actually...
No, well, that it was, like, twofold, though, Eric, because she was trying to get him to have a reaction to her.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then I was like, inappropriate, and then...
No, that's not the way I took it at all.
Like she was flirting with him. You fancy me, and he was like, no, I have this one woman.
No, I absolutely do not believe that was...
Terry, back me up on...
No, that was not her intention. When she was connecting to the part about her parent, about his parents.
I think she was talking about Jeff.
Well, maybe, because I've come up with like maybe three different scenarios, like possibilities. Because no, she wasn't trying to like flaunt herself in front of the android. No, because she made the connection. She saw that the doctors. She saw that what the doctor was trying to do, it wasn't working, and so in her mind, she put herself in the android's place and thought, okay, well. Wow, I'm responding to that, but what could be even bigger, or what else might garner the proper reaction? I think it was a reflection of her own thoughts and her thinking about that being drawn to someone who you shouldn't be. And so that's when the idea snapped in her mind, and she was thinking, I hope he has someone like that he can recall. I absolutely do not think that she was trying to like flaunt herself to him. No, absolutely not.
That's because you like worship the ground that she walks on. So
no, it has nothing to do
with that. He has a total crush, Terry.
No, I absolutely do, but it has nothing to do with that, though. It has to do with because they're laying the groundwork in these early episodes for the big stuff that's going to happen with Amy.
Well, I get that.
Have you noticed there's less deaths in this show now?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have yet we have yet to have a
on-screen
death. Yeah, we have. We've only had two. I've been counting too. We've only had two.
What, the two guys who got killed by the Daleks, weren't there more?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
So you're going to keep a running body count?
Yeah, well, because it's such a low count. That's why it's so easy and significant.
Compare it to Russell, where, like, I reckon if he wrote that episode, that guy would have gone onto the ship and sacrificed himself.
Not just Russell.
No, there was a third death because the one chick was crying because she lost her boy.
Yeah, but that was an off-screen death.
It was an off-screen death, but the way they did it was like, why is she crying? Oh, she lost her boy, and then everybody moved on, and then that was it. I'm like, what was that? Can we at least, nobody comforted her the whole time. We saw her cry, but like nobody connected with that. There was like, they shouldn't even have that in. It would have been... The story would have been great if they would have left it out because they didn't even address it or handle it well. It was just, it was an off-screen death. We got to see her cry. Loved her hair. But, like, really, what was that?
But see, the thing is, though, it's significant, though, the thing about the deaths, because it's not just during RTD's era. During the entire run of Doctor Who, it's hard to find the episodes that don't have any deaths at all in the entire run of Doctor Who. But it's significant because in all the Stephen Moffat penned episodes going back to series one, there has never been an on-screen death in any Moffat episode that he's penned to this day.
Apart from that woman from Old Age.
Exactly. Except and also the,
look at you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's that one, and there's also the other guy from Old Age and Blink, the one who says that he knows he has till the rain stops. But yeah, those are natural deaths. But other than that, there has not been a single on-screen death in a Moffat story.
Well, maybe that's why this story didn't connect, because he was killing folks. It was just like, it was like a lot of stuff.
Think the reason this
was too much
didn't connect, other than, yes, too many things being crammed in. This episode is very reminiscent of The Long Game in season one of Doctor Who.
What was that? Refresh me.
It was the episode with, what was his name? Adam. They pick up Adam and the people with the little hats on their foreheads, and there was the Dagrafrost up in the ceiling, and Simon Pegg, and yada yada yada. Anyways, that's the long game, and I think
I like that though. I love that though. I didn't have any problem. I didn't hate that.
Well, other people hate it strong. Other people felt similar to this episode, like, what was the point of all this with the long game? And of course, it's called The Long Game because it sets up things that happen later in the series. And this is a definite setup episode. So it is hard to get a true payoff because it's more like a to be continued.
But it just feels like.
What about Amy, though?
Have
you noticed about Amy? She doesn't know anything about the Daleks.
Oh, yeah. And I totally expected that.
What?
I've been expecting that since the first episode.
But even Stevens actually said, I've actually found an interview online, I think I posted it on Twitter a few days ago, that card, that medical card that her boyfriend wears, that was a complete slip-up.
I think he's I think he's completely lying, by the way, in that interview.
What are we talking about? Why is that a slip-up?
If you go back to the first episode of the 11th
hour. I remember looking at the card. Okay, what about it?
If you look at the date, it says, like, the issue date, and it's
1990.
So Rory got his ID badge for work in 1990, and everyone's like, wait a second, because it looks like contemporary present day, you know, like, let's say somewhere between 2010, 2012 or something like that. And so how could he have got issued that card in 1990? And then, like, when he said Moffat was interviewed and asked about that specifically, and he says that was just, like, a mess up. But no, he's absolutely lying, because RTD did the same thing many, many, many times during his run, where people would ask him questions of that nature. So does this, you know, does this have a significant... And RTD would just straight lie all the time, like, oh, absolutely not. There's not going to be Daleks at the end of this season. No. We're not going to see them for a long time. And then, boom, Daleks, Journey's End. Like, it's happened a minute. No. Absolutely do not believe him.
But what I don't get, though, if it's set in, like, the late 90s, where's all these laptops and where's all these camera phones coming from?
Well, then there's the crack, and then we have an alternate universe.
And that was, like, that was my first thing that...
It's a Doctor Sideways.
That was my first thing that I... was having difficulty reconciling when I saw the 11th hour the first time, but how convenient that Fringe had their 80s episode around the same time. And I don't know if you saw the Peter episode.
Yeah.
And how convenient that in that episode, it's 1985, and Dr. Walter Bishop creates that Razor lookalike phone in 1985. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this perfectly ties into Doctor Who, because I believe that the crack and all this business that we're going to find out is going to be, in a way, similar to what's been going on in Fringe. Yeah, the Pandorical and the Science Falls and all that. But, and there's I have so much to say about this whole business with Science Falling, because I've only heard very few people really...
Eric is better at Doctor Who than everybody else. He wins.
No, not better. I think a lot of people just haven't been willing to commit as deeply as I have. Because, you know, if I'm wrong...
What about River?
Yes, he's obsessed.
What about River? That's a whole other bag of
there's
work.
There's something secret about River. He's actually admitted there's a darker side to River that nobody knows yet.
Yeah, I don't... River Song.
Steven. She comes back next week.
Oh, yes. I saw that. Okay. Wow.
There's something else behind her. I reckon she is maybe Time Lady, possibly.
I would love to see a Time Lady.
Time Lady, but I...
That would be Romana, but it'd probably be someone Iris Wildthyme, possibly.
I have no idea her backstory, and I have no idea. I know there's something, like you say, there's something going on there, but no, I have no speculation on that in particular, but I have a lot of speculation about this crack in Science Falling, and... I've thought it since the first episode that Moffat is using it to his advantage as a misdirection. Not saying that it's insignificant. No, I think it's significant, but I think he's really... And the way they focus on the crack so heavily at the end of The Beast Below and Victor the Daleks, they're trying to hammer it home and to just make everyone...
I'm tired of the crack already.
Yeah, but see, they're just trying to lull everyone into, like, a sense of...
Well, it's a happy crack. I don't know.
But there's something much, much
it
more.
It looked like a smile, didn't it, Terry?
There's much, much more going
there
on.
As fall as last week.
And this whole business with Amy not knowing about the Daleks, which, again, I expected completely, I think it'll absolutely tie into why there's laptops and cell phones in a year that is not 2010, that is probably in the 1990s, early, mid-1990s. And that will all play out eventually. And see, I had a couple disappointments in the Victory of the Daleks, but not for the same reasons as everybody else. Because I absolutely expected three things to happen in Victory of the Daleks, like to gain three bits of knowledge, but unfortunately we only got the one. And that was about
fruity flavored Daleks.
And that was about Amy and the whole Dalek thing. That was one of my three things. So I got that. But I was absolutely expecting to hear the origins of Magpie Electricals in Victory of the Daleks.
Magpie Electricals, that was in the Idiot's Lantern.
Absolutely. It was the television manufacturer in the Idiot's Lantern. It was the manufacturer of Martha's television in her apartment in The Sound of Drums. It was shown many times in The Beast Below, around the city or whatever you want to call it, the promenade.
How many times have you seen this?
Oh, wow. I've seen it 11,015 times. I've seen The Beast Below.
This dude is hardcore, Terry.
I've seen the Daleks at least four times now. But anyway, Mark Gatiss, the writer of The Idiot's Lantern, who was actor in The Lazarus Experiment, who wrote Victory of the Daleks.
Have you ever seen The League of Gentlemen?
No, I haven't.
You'd like that. He stars and wrote that show. It's a very strange comedy show. It's out there. You would love it.
Yeah. Well, he wrote this episode, Victory of the Daleks, and so I absolutely expected that Professor, what's his name, Bagwell, or whatever, the android professor, I absolutely expected him to be, like, the creator or founder of Magpie Electricals. I was just waiting.
Maybe it'll come later. He didn't
Maybe, because I'm still holding out to it, but I was absolutely expecting it, because I just felt it was the perfect tie-in to explain, you know, the foundation of that company and everything. It was just perfectly there, and I was
disappointed we had World War II and no Captain Jack. He belongs there.
And that kind of ties into my third thing that I wanted to, because I thought, because we knew Daleks were going to be in World War II, and of course the big question was, how did this happen? And I thought this was going to be a further explanation of the whole crack business and time being fractured and history being all wrong. And that's how I thought it was going to go, but it didn't, because the Doctor and Amy solved it. So basically the public of Earth never really found out. So this could have been the proper timeline anyway. So that was another big disappointment, because I thought we were going to finally start learning about how the crack and everything's been messed up.
Eric, you want to know my number one disappointment? So we go from Beast Below to Victory of the Daleks. I really wanted to see Amy shop for her outfit. I mean, she spent the whole episode in her gym jams, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's just like she's in her pajamas for a reason. And I thought maybe it would be a real big special thing that we get to see. Like,
you know what that is? That's what? Very Wendy Peter Pan.
Okay. Oh.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Well, like, I thought it was two things. Yeah. I thought it was two things. I thought it was Peter Pan. Because obviously that's the way the scene looks at the beginning of Beast Below. It's very Peter Pan.
And you're very right. You're very right on
that. That's part of it. But as I said earlier in our podcast too, the way she left like that at the end of the 11th hour, I felt it was Arthur Dent at that point.
Yeah, it was a bit of both.
Because there was other hitchhiker stuff that we already went over.
But he stayed in his gym jams the whole time throughout a long time. And I just really wanted to see, like, she just bust out with her whole outfit. I'm like, aw, we didn't even get to go through how they got from that to that and this to that. I mean, I know it's little, but what I'm saying is stuff like we need a little bit more bonding time before we get into the Daleks. Could we just, I don't know. It was just too soon for them.
I just think it's funny because on my show, I think it's something about you costumers and fashion designers, because my co-host, she said something very, very similar. Like, she really wanted to see Amy, like, go into the wardrobe and pick out her clothes. And,
yeah.
And my co-host took it even further.
I just want to say the inside of the TARDIS. Like,
Oh, don't worry. We'll see that at some point. Guarantee. But my co-host took it even further, because she was saying when she saw what Amy was wearing, in her, she her imagination went wild because she was saying that she pictured her going to the wardrobe and seeing all the other previous companions, like kinds of outfits, like Rose's kind of clothes and Martha, and she was trying to think. So what did Amy pick up? And she was thinking maybe it was like Tegan's, like from Tegan's wardrobe with the mini skirts. Like, so she was just going rampant in her imagination. I was like, wow, this is totally a girl thing, because definitely none of that crossed my mind at all. So,
yeah, I don't know. I wanted that experience of, you know, he got to pick out his clothes. I wanted her to, you know, just to, like, how do we get from there to there? And a lot of people complain about the short being a little, I mean, the skirt being short. It's kind of not. It is, but it's not. It's just the way the fabric is tiny, but the shirt is long. So it's like the skirt is hitting her hips and the belt is wide. So the belt makes the skirt look shorter. And then she has the long top, which comes all the way down to her hip bone. So it gives the illusion of being really short, but it's like actually at a really natural.
Yeah, I'm totally. I know what you're talking about. And yeah, I clearly saw that too. And I was like, yeah. And plus there's been in classic
she
days.
She wants to go around in her police outfit all the time. I don't mind either.
Yeah.
Oh boy, Halloween's going to be interesting.
But I know a lot of people complaining about her short skirts, but they've already been in Doctor Who before with past companions.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then we got Perry in the 80s with all those bikini shots.
Yeah.
So, oh, I mean, come on, we've already been there and back, so.
I haven't, and no I don't want to be there. interesting choice of cowboy.
Well, there's a main.
I'll let her go on that.
There's a male character in Speedos as well in that 80s episode, so you get a female and a male.
Would you say?
Have you seen the photo that they did around that time in that episode?
Mm-mm.
There's a photo online. It's got a picture of Peter Davison and Perry.
Oh yeah,
he's dressed up in a suit, and it's like a James Bond ripoff. It looks really good.
Huh.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Cool. She's got the bikini on, and she's like neck, you know, the other side of him, back to back, like the whole Bond. James Bond.
Well, I don't know. Terry, so far you're loving it. You think Matt's going to do fine, and what?
Change is good for the show. They really need it all the time. That's what I love about it. It's constantly, you know, that's what's keeping it going, unlike Star Trek, which just drags its heels for 7 years, whatever it is. You know what I mean? And I don't know, just the new direction, the new people, the new titles I'm not too sure about yet. I don't like the music much.
You don't? Okay. I wasn't...
It's all right. It's different, though.
Yeah, it's different. I didn't respond to it immediately, but, you know, after seeing it for a couple of times, I'm like, okay, well, it's not that I see the difference and I kind of like it. How long do you think Matt's going to last? 3 years? Five? Two?
I don't know. I'd hope to see him at least for the 50th anniversary. That'd be nice.
How long?
3 years away. 3 years away.
3 years away. Okay.
He's absolutely going to make it there. It's as long as he wants it, basically. And I hope he goes for. Man, I want him to go at least five, as long as Tennant. And if it was up to me, he would break Tom Baker's record of 7 years. Because.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah,
that's
because Matt
Baker wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. Colin Baker did as well.
I'm ready for a new doctor already.
No.
It's like, okay, I like you, but I.
Because of the three new doctors in the new series.
Yes, come on, Eric, you're just being fanboy. You can't say you love him the most.
But you can't ignore that, you know.
Dude, I don't know. I think you're still you're like having the Holy Spirit right now. You'll calm down. I just think
No. It's important though. It's important. You can't subtract if you have that kind of background with the show. You can't just dismiss that, because absolutely, I love Eccleston's Doctor.
Because he's
in my top three or whatever, but Matt Smith, the reason why he really sticks out to me is because he really, really embodies a lot of what the Doctor has been as a whole over the past.
But you said that about Tennant.
No, I didn't. When did I say that? Never.
You see this, Terry?
No,
you see
never.
What I gotta put up with.
No, and I like Tennant too. Tennant, I like too. He's in my top half of all time Doctors, but he
my favorite
is seven. Not. He is not.
Your favorite is who, Terry?
Seventh. Seventh and Ace. That were the great
together.
That's
interesting. Oh, they're a great pair, but that's...
Yeah.
Not many people...
I like is their first. I like the dark side, though. I like the dark side of Doctor Who. You never get to see that anymore much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was a dark side?
Oh, well, yeah.
Was he drunk or something?
By the end of
it,
oh, no, no.
No, he was very manipulative with his companions. He liked to play mind games with them. It was very...
Oh,
yeah.
That didn't seem fun.
But...
Oh, it's for their own good, but it was very, yeah... It was well done, but yeah. Hard to explain.
But Tenet, no, I like Tenet a lot, but no, Tenet is very, very different, unique. I think it's apt how many people label him the quote-unquote human doctor. He is the most human doctor, I would say, out of the 10, 11. But Matt Smith, he's like an alien doctor, very
he
much
is.
Like Tom
Oh
Baker.
My God.
Yeah, he is, and that's what's awesome about it. He takes the best of certain previous doctors and puts it all in his own way, and he's absolutely... perhaps in my
very
top
Troutness,
two.
Don't you think?
Oh yeah, a lot of Troughton, but then he switches into Tom Baker, and then he switches into somebody else like McCoy. It's brilliant, and he is the single best thing that we.
Oh, Eric.
Oh, he is. Oh, point me to anything else in the series 5.
You already know how I feel. So.
Well, I'm just saying, there's nothing better.
Nothing will ever top Utopia for me. I love the episode.
Oh,
amazing.
It's a great episode. But I'm just
speaking... Oh, look at it. It's a great episode.
It is a great episode. But
Bleak.
I'm just speaking as the series
Blink, yeah,
five
Blink.
As a whole. I'm not trying to pick out like my favorite episode like right now. Mm-hmm. But I think Moffat's really playing with us, and all our attention's on the crack and the silence falling. But I think the Beast Below is really important, other than its story.
Episode.
But I think the subliminal message there that we were supposed to take away from that episode was you got to keep looking. You got to keep looking and pay attention to every little thing. And I think that was a message for the whole entire series 5. And that just because you see something obvious right there, there's actually more going on. That's why I think the crack is a red herring big time.
Do you think it's going to be that detailed, or you think we're going to get something like the Master at the end wearing a hoodie and doing weird crap and stuff at the end?
No, I think it's going to be very much like Lost as far as the crazy time. Wow, what is going on?
Wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And like Fringe with the side. Yeah, absolutely, it's going to be wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey. And like I said, the clues have been there. You know, look around, see everything. The thing about the corner of your eye, it's a theme. It's an ongoing theme. And you have to be like a detective to like solve this mystery. And it's not the obvious thing. There's more.
Well, I mean, Moffat has taken the age group of Doctor Who watchers down with getting a younger doctor. So do you think that people are going to be paying attention, like the new viewers or whatever?
I think he's banking on people not paying attention. I think that's part of his game plan. Because I think...
If you ever watch Coupling, he does that in Coupling. He's got like, you know how normal sitcoms are, you know, beginning, middle, end. Well, he'd have a lot of episodes in the show which would completely mix up the way a sitcom would be made. Like, he'd have one episode when the characters broke up. The whole episode, the screen split in two, and you saw both characters going out, like the girl and the boy, with night out on the town. So they'd have one scene where they'd talk, and the other ones wouldn't talk. And so once they finished, the girl would at the bottom of the screen would talk, and like you kind of see this until the end of the episode, they meet up again, and the line disappears.
Mm.
So it's kind of weird. Like, he likes doing weird things, like with narrative and all that. Like, even with shows like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's really well clever.
It is.
And
it
I really think the Doctor, he's been a little bit aware of all this business since the 11th hour. And I think it may be why he really wanted to get Amy as his companion, because I think he hasn't said it, but I think he knows that she has something to do with this crack business. I think he has so much more to reveal.
That would be good.
No, I really think he doesn't have it figured out, but I think he's been suspicious since the 11th hour. And I think there is some connection to all this crazy whatever's going on. I think it has something to do specifically with Amy.
Well, also, too, he has been missing time. Like, he's showing up late to everything. And
yes,
that's
yes,
to me.
Yes, yes, yes. No, wait. Yes, I know the TARDIS does that, but I have picked up on that as well, about him being late, because he did it with Amy, and, of course, the same thing happened. They mentioned it in the Dalek episode, but it's a Moffatism, because... because the same exact thing happened in his first story with the empty child. They were chasing this space probe hurling through space, and they were right behind it. And then as soon as they landed, you know, the doctor's like, I don't know where it is. And Rose's like, why not? He's like, well, He's like, for all we know, it's already been like 3 months since it crashed. And she's like, what do you mean? We were right behind it. And he was just like, yeah, it doesn't work like that. And so I just thought, what the heck? I mean, that's a callback to his own story. It's something that he's definitely been toying with before. And I think it rather significant. It's been mentioned twice. By the way, another crazy mystery. Like, this one is really throwing me for a loop. What the heck is going on with that blue aura that appeared in the 11th hour?
Oh, that was just lens flare. They actually say it in the Confidential. They were trying to make a close moment. They just had it in the background, kind of like.
Did you see that, Kat?
What are you talking about?
In Confidential, they actually talk about it. It's like a blue lens flare that comes up on the screen.
Yeah, but it's
what scene, Terry? What scene?
It's when they're next to the screen, when they're next to the town square in the 11th hour. No, no,
when
no,
he,
no.
When he gets his fire locked in the car.
Oh. Okay.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. They're talking. It just seemed like a moment.
It was huge, and it like covered up the whole middle of the screen, and it did not look like your typical lens flare that you see in like in other things. And
maybe it was a time shift. I don't know.
I don't know, but it was huge, and it creeped on the screen, and then it creeped off. Go back and watch that. It's ridiculous.
I remember it now that y'all tell me what scene it is. I remember that now, and I noticed it. But I didn't think anything of it.
And you know what? And maybe I wouldn't be surprised if they're telling a half truth in the Confidential about that, because I think too it is what you just said, how they explained it. It's a moment. Yeah, I think it's a moment too. But I kind of feel like it's
what
more
type of moment.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to know what the deal is with that lens flare, because it's insane. And I saw a little bit of it in the Victory of the Daleks episode, but I wasn't sure if it was connected, because it wasn't as overt. When the Spitfire is getting ready to take out the Dalek dish or whatever, at the very, very bottom of the screen, and this looks like lens flare, by the way. So I thought, looks like lens flare, but it has that same kind of blue glow, and it's, you wouldn't really notice it because it's very much at the very bottom of the screen. Actually, on a lot of televisions, you might not even see it because it's so down at the bottom. But I was like, whoa, that looks like that blue glow. But I don't know if it's meant to be the same thing.
Maybe
but
it's just artistic.
Maybe, but like, it's a unique looking type of, you know, blue. And why is it just there then? Because I watched that entire scene multiple times. And it's only there at that part when Danny Boy's like talking back to them. And I'm like, there's the blue. It's at the bottom. We don't see it.
That was so Independence Day. I thought he was going to say, up yours, and then destroy the Daleks.
And at first when I saw that blue glow, I thought, oh, maybe it's supposed to be like the light reflecting from the Earth or something. But as soon as they show the Earth, it's like a completely different blue than that. It's like much lighter. And I was like, wow, okay, that doesn't match up with that at all. So I don't know, but that blue aura is really, really bothering me in the 11th hour, because that is really in your face. Big.
I hope it means something eventually, man. I really do, because you're into it.
I have no idea.
You think too much about it. I'm watching, enjoying it at the moment. I'm trying to absorb
this
everything.
This is how Eric enjoys it.
Oh,
he can't do it any other way.
I mean, I watch every show like this.
Lost as well. Oh, God.
I watch every show like this, like Lost and Fringe, but... Because, I mean, wow, I've been on the record on Fringe, and it's impossible for me to predict everything exact, but I was so up on the Peter thing with all my theories that we recorded many months ago.
Earlier on, he was so, he called it. He basically spoiled it for us, like he was writing the damn story. I think even someone said that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Eric, I'm glad you wrote the story. I mean, somebody gave you crap about it, and you were right.
Yeah, so I called that way early, and the Lost thing, like I said, first literal 5 minutes, like, it all just hit me when Juliet said that thing that she said about how it did work, and I was like, there it is, that's the sideways verse. Like, I knew it was like so obvious. It made perfect sense, and it's only played out since then. And yeah, so I have some hunches, and I know I'm not gonna be 100% right about the Doctor Who thing, but I know I'm on the right trail, you know.
I'm just afraid, because we've had a lot of people like do some, well, especially with Russell's series. A lot of people guess and really, really think and really think about everything that was going on. And I don't know, like, Stephen's a different person. So
exactly.
We'll
I was
going
to say, the problem with that, it was Russell. And he...
Yeah, Russell simplified everything.
Yeah, but he just throws things out and sees what'll stick to the board.
He sure does. Oh, my God.
He said it a million times.
Special was just...
Like the Bad Wolf thing. He just thought, let's just throw Bad Wolf. The entire series, as they're... writing and producing it, he had no idea Like what?
See, that's why the crack bothers me, because it's like the Bad Wolf all over again.
But again,
and we're gonna end up with somebody in a hoodie making himself look like everybody on the planet. That hoodie pissed me off.
Absolutely not. We're not gonna get that. We're not gonna get that.
And why does regeneration cause blonde hair? Really? Ask me that.
What? Oh no! I don't even want to.
The master. Start... Why did he have bleached hair in that episode?
Oh dude.
I don't really? Even want. I don't want to start talking about Journey's End. That is.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to talk about.
Man, I don't know. I'm still a little bothered by that, but you know, I'm not as sad as I was. I was depressed for a few days, but now I'm just like.
But that is RTD. Like that's his MO. He has like the greatest emotional bits that fit into a context of madness and crazy like situations.
I want to see some more Time Lords. I want to see a Time Lady. I don't want to see any more damn Daleks. I don't want to see Cybermen, but I know they're coming. I don't want to see.
I want to see. I know they won't come, but I want to see the original Cybermen. We're never going to see them. The early Cybermen, they're coming. They're all the from Pete's World. None of them are the classic Cybermen.
And I know that's like the cry of the old school fan is bring back my original Daleks. And I mean, they have to at some point. If it's not this year, it will happen because these Pete's World.
I mean, they're supposed. We defeated you, and you're supposed to be dead. And they keep coming back. Why stop? Why I want a new threat. That's why I like the Beast Below, because it was new. I didn't know where it was going. It was on a space. It was. I don't know. I just liked it because I really got into. Amy and the Doctor, and I wanted to get the more, you know, just them bonding. I wanted more of that. And you got that in Beast Below. And then the Dalek thing, oh man, it was just, I don't know, it was a disaster for me.
See, I'm really looking forward.
Beast Below, I love how they connected that with the old series. Did you notice that?
Well, see, I don't have that experience, so I know that I'm missing.
29th Century, originally, they were like the very first Tom Baker. Or the second Tom Baker story, there was one called The Ark in Space, where solar flares destroyed the Earth, and there was this Ark that was sitting up, like, for all the geniuses and all that. And this is basically what they established the other week, was this is the rest of the people who didn't get to the Ark, all them making ships and leaving Earth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Actually,
yeah.
See, that's another thing I called, by the way. Well, not exactly, I didn't exactly call it, but before The Beast Below aired, I did this crazy diatribe on how I felt like the 11th Hour was the Robot episode.
What does that mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because Robot was the first Fourth Doctor story, and I went in this whole diatribe about, because a lot of people were complaining when we saw the 11th Hour, oh, this Doctor, I don't like him. He's just like acting like Tennant. He's acting like the 10th Doctor and yada, yada, yada. And oh, it's
no,
like,
he didn't.
I know, but I'm just saying what people were saying.
That was a beautiful episode.
And they were saying, oh, it's RTD again with the crazy music at the beginning and save the world one more time. And it was like the Christmas invasion because telling off the aliens. And it was like Smith and Jones because they're in the hospital and there's an escaped convict and they're trying to recapture them and yada. It's all been done before. And I saw that. And that's why I went out on my little diatribe saying, you know what? And this was my guess at the time. I said, this could be Robot 2010, meaning that first episode of the Fourth Doctor was very, very reminiscent of the Third Doctor before him. That his first episode was so much like a Third Doctor episode and story because it was with UNIT and it was on Earth and it was a typical Third Doctor kind of story. That was Robot. The second episode of the Fourth Doctor was the Ark in Space. And I was saying, again, I don't know how I knew, but I was saying, wouldn't it be neat if, like, next week, Beast Below is like that departure, that change from Robot. And then we got Beast Below, and they said 30th Century and solar flares. And I was like, holy crap, it's the Ark in Space. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe this. Because I was just saying that like the week before it aired. And so I was like, well, there it is. I'm a genius. And no, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
But I mean, it's like Moffat heard my call, you know.
Oh,
10 months ago, before I had this idea, and he knew I was going to have this idea, so he made that episode.
Eric is really having an extreme spiritual experience with this new Doctor, I swear to you. And it's kind of amazing to watch, because he is like Joe Pinionated to Lost. You know, he's like that Doctor, and oh my God, it is just interesting to see him going ape shit over every detail. I learned everything about Doctor Who. Like, I haven't seen some of the episodes, but you know, just listening to him over and over, I'm getting a you know, learning a little bit more about him. You know, I can just sit.
We need to introduce you to the classic series.
Well, no, I have them queued up in my Netflix, and some of them you can stream. So I want to watch them. I really am obsessed with watching things in order, but I'm gonna give that up.
They're releasing them out of order, and there's about 60% of the old black and white ones that are just missing, so you can't actually watch them.
Yeah.
So you've just got to add storage.
I realize that. So, oh my God. Okay, one last question. the new Sonic screwdriver, Terry. What do you like? Oh. The little, it's green and it has the little, I guess, fingers that come out of it. Did the blue one do that?
No.
No, this is probably just make it more look like the new Sonic screwdriver that River's eventually going to get, because that's going to be hers.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, because, yeah, that's been brought up, because River's Sonic screwdriver in the Science of the Library looks very much like Tennant's modified.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
So I'm not sure how they're going to, if they're going to explain that or not.
The green settings, that one's green. That's why I thought about it.
So I thought it was blue, because it looks like Tennant's screwdriver with a bunch of bits and bobs added onto it.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me, too, and green, and that's it. Yeah. But it looks all weird, and I don't know. I guess I just hate the little fingers that come out of it. I was like, wow, you didn't need to go that different. Just change one color and then leave it. It didn't have to be all fancy gizmo-y.
I think they use it too much. Like, did you know in the old series?
Oh,
actually,
please, David, whip that thing out like every chance
he got.
That's
what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In the classic series, they actually destroyed it, and for years it didn't come back until the movie.
Mm-hmm.
To the original, Eighth Doctor movie. They killed it off in the Fifth Doctor, and for the Sixth and the Seventh, he didn't have one.
Well, dude, they got to sell those things. They're going to have, like, fruity flavored Dalek plush toys.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know it's coming. And I want some. You're going to have, like, Dalek,
I want one of those little
Christmas tree ornaments and crap. You do.
I want one of those little plushy dolls with those little fat monsters. You remember them?
The who? What? Oh, those little cute
fat monsters. Yeah. You can buy them.
I want to say, those Atraxi ships in the 11th Hour, they look so much more impressive in HD. When I saw them on BBC.
They look crazy.
When I saw them on BBC America on Saturday night in HD, I was like, whoa. Way more detail in these things.
Oh, like, okay, because they look... I won't say they look crappy, but they look, like, really comical and...
They still look fantastical, but they definitely look better with the added detail. There's a lot more intricacy in their, like, crystal design, whatever. I'm just saying, I was just like, whoa.
Whatever. They turned their ass when he said, basically, run.
Yeah. And by the way, River Song predicted that in the Silence of the Library... Because she said, you know, the doctor, you made a whole army turn and run. And that's exactly what he did in the 11th Hour.
Well, he makes a lot of people run. So
I'm just saying. River called it. And she also called the snapping the fingers to open the door, which he did in the hour as well.
Next week, there's a slight clue, actually. Because you know how she says the crash of the Byzantium?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's next week. The ship is called the Byzantium.
Exactly.
Actually taking photos.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
That's not the first time they meet. Did you know? River and the Doctor, this next week, is not River's introduction. They've actually Stephen Moffat said, this isn't the first time that River meets the Doctor. This is going to be in between. This
yes,
is the middle.
I gleaned that from on the BBC America. Before they aired the 11th Hour, they showed this one-hour special, like... Doctor Who, The Ultimate Guide, where they recapped like the first series. And while they were recapping everything, for some reason, they showed like a 30, 40 second uncut clip from next week's episode. Like it was in there. It was in context with what they were talking about. But I was like, what is happening? Like we are seeing a scene from next week's episode. And it was 30,
40.
And I posted it on, if you go to like guidedwhoverse.tumblr.com, it's in there with, I have all the whatever new things that have come out like that. And,
or you can get it on scifipartyline.net.
There too.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, and so there's this uncut clip, and I don't want to say too much about it for those who don't want to know, but basically you can glean what you just said, that yes, this is not their first meeting, but. I just was like, what's happening? They didn't show any clips from any other episodes. Like, why did it happen to just be that episode? And I just thought it an odd coincidence. since no one had seen that yet, even in the UK. So that was a little bit weird. But
how are these ratings doing? Better? Worse? Do anybody know those details?
I do. I don't have them written down, but I just know that the 11th Hour was – it's in the – what is it? It's in the top 10 of all-time Doctor Who episodes ratings-wise. Of course, half of those are like Tennant episodes, like Tennant specials and whatnot and Christmas specials. But it's – so it's up there in the upper echelon of Doctor Who ratings. Just 11th Hour, though. Because it was – the official numbers was like 10.5 mil or something like that who saw it live in the UK. And then Beast Below was healthy, but it dropped down to like 8-something million, which was good. But the Dalek episode was dipping, and it was 6.
I know why.
that one was definitely the lowest.
I don't see no fruity Daleks.
Yeah, that's good for ratings. And that the 11th Hour
that fruity
was...
Dalek.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I think we've had enough fun. Or unless y'all have any final thoughts, predictions.
No.
Da-da. Okay.
My thoughts are ongoing. If you're a Doctor Who fan and you're hearing us right now, check out The Guide to the Whoverse. We're doing a ridiculous 2 episodes a week right now, which is very to keep up with.
And this boy can talk.
It's interesting. It's interesting because it's you get to hear me. Wow, it's a little bit different than how I sound on this podcast.
He is in rare form.
Yeah, I surprised myself because we do like one episode where we just review the episode, the new one, and then we do another episode later in the week where I basically comment on what everybody else has said and also get into my theoretical zone.
So bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So check out GotchaTheHooverse.com, and you can get all of what Terry blogs. If you start blogging again, get on that, sir.
I will, I promise.
Want to see some of your Doctor Who thoughts. And you can also get all of Eric's feeds at scifipartyline.net. It's still a work in progress. You can also leave comments about this episode, please do, at scifipartyline.com. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. You can pick up your phone right now, cell phone, leave anything. I don't care. Just call us. Let us know, you know? And we are also on Twitter at Sci-Fi Party Line. And guys, thanks for listening and see you at the party next time. Bye.
Since I met you back on Scarrow, and I'm pretty sure that you know that not much has changed since then. It doesn't matter how hard you try to remove me, I think you will agree that if one of us dies, then the other will too. I am locked in war with you. Exterminate, regenerate. I thought you always knew our fate. Just keep fighting on and on while time keeps turning. Regenerate, exterminate. And even though we are the same, why don't you hop into your ship and leave me burning? Men, we have our contrast. what to do with that flame is what separates our tongues. If it takes till the end of reality to meet you, then I'll be sure to meet you at the exits of the world. Same, why don't you hop into my ship? And we can settle this. And we can settle this. Exterminate, regenerate. You know that it isn't too late to end what seems impossible. And leave time turning. Regenerate, exterminate. And even though we are the same, why don't you hop into my ship? Exterminate, regenerate. You thought you were always you are fate. Just keep fighting on and on. While time keeps turning. Travel time together. We can settle this forever.
But yeah, but you know, but Katie Manning, one thing that she did was really crazy on stage at the convention was she was talking about, oh, you know, by the way, she said, have you guys seen my, like, she goes, I have a way of doing like a Dalek voice, and oh, she was describing it, and then she did it, and you can see the video on YouTube. That was filmed at the convention. What she does is she stands up and she leans forward and she puts like her head like down to her knees, so she's like her head's upside down, and she did it while like mooning the crowd, and I saw it live and I was just like what is going on, and she puts her head down to her knees while standing, and then she like shakes her head back and forth left and right like vigorously while saying, this is how you talk like a dog, well, while shaking her head, and it was just nuts. Absolutely
wow.
Nuts. And it, the video's on YouTube, you can see that.